Last Sunday morning, Mark kicked off our, what we're calling, I guess, our fall series. And if you weren't here and missed it, it's going to be on the subject of prayer. And this is actually a series we talked about doing last year, 2017, but some other things kind of got bumped up and we never got around to doing it. But earlier in 2017, anticipating we might do a series on prayer in 2017, I passed out a questionnaire on prayer. And the three classes, the Bermuda Triangle or whatever you call it, the Devil's Triangle or whatever, meets over here on the north side of our building. I'm just kind of a little full of it this morning, aren't I? Sorry about that. Those three classes that meet right over here, they're right among each other. About 50 or so of y'all took a questionnaire on prayer. Does anybody remember that? Thank you, Gay. I really appreciate that, dear. 50 of you did it, so, you know, obviously more of you did it than that, but maybe you forgot. But out of that questionnaire, I received some really interesting responses and some quite surprising responses as well. A few of you, in response to that questionnaire, said that you struggle with knowing how to pray. That was a little surprising based upon the age of the group. Those are our three most senior adult classes that meet over here. So that was a little surprising that out of that group, well, I'm not trying to insult them, you know, I said senior, I could have said old, right? And I didn't. I just said those are our most three senior classes. So out of that, that was somewhat surprising that out of that age group came some responses indicating that, well, you know, I just really don't know how to pray. Some others indicated, based upon some of the questions that were asked, that you were unsure about what to say in your prayers, what you should pray about, how to form or structure your prayers. In response to the specific question, who taught you how to pray? This was interesting. Some said no one. I just kind of figured it out on my own. A few said, well, I've learned how to pray by listening to the men who pray on Sunday mornings pray. So they basically learned how to pray a public prayer, because public prayer and private prayer are really kind of two different things. So their private prayers sound like the public prayers that we often pray from the pulpit. Several expressed frustration with the quality of their prayer life, saying they'd probably pray more if they felt they were any good at it. Now, here's what I conclude from that. If that is how some of our older adult disciples feel about their prayer life, I wonder what some of our younger disciples feel about the quality of their prayer life. I suspect that many of us gathered in this room today, whether older, younger, or somewhere in between, would likely admit that we struggle with prayer and that our prayer lives are not what they could or should be. Prayer is a spiritual discipline that many Christians struggle with. Haddon Robinson is probably not a name that any of you recognize, but those of us who preach probably do know the name quite well. Robinson was a distinguished professor of preaching, the senior director of the Doctor of Ministry program, and former interim president of Gordon Cornwell Theological Seminary. He was known as a great communicator in the pulpit and wrote many books on preaching. In fact, one of the first books I read as a Bible major student at Freed Hardeman College was by Haddon Robinson. So those of us who preach know this name quite well. Robinson passed away last year at the age of 86. But over the years, through his sermons and his writings, he influenced many people, especially preachers. like me. You might think someone like that, who was an interim president of a Christian seminary, wrote dozens of books on preaching, distinguished himself as a great communicator in the pulpit. You might think, even though you've never, maybe many of you have never heard of him, you might think, based upon how I've described him to you, you might think someone like that had an outstanding prayer life. But surprisingly, in a sermon he preached on prayer in 2005, when he would have been in his 70s, he had this to say about his prayer life. Over the years, my success in prayer has been more intermittent than persistent. There have been times, and I love this image, there have been times, he said, when I have gotten hold of the hem of the garment, but I've not always been able to sustain the grasp. That's a powerful image in my mind, that communicates well the difficulty of grabbing hold of prayer and sustaining the grasp. I find it somewhat comforting to know that someone of Robinson's stature struggled with prayer. It is somewhat reassuring to know that I'm not alone in that struggle, because in regards to prayer, I too can say I've not always been able to sustain the grasp. There are times that I feel like I've got a hold of the garment, got a hold of the hem of the garment, but I let that slip away. I've not always been able to sustain the grasp. How about you? How about you? How about not the person beside you, not the person behind you, not the person in front of you, but how about you? Have you gotten a hold of the hem of the garment when it comes to prayer? And have you been able to hold on to that grasp for any length of time? We're not going to answer every question or concern or issue that one might have regarding prayer in this short series. It's only going to be about 5 or 6 weeks. So obviously, with something as deep as the topic of prayer, we're not going to cover the whole range that could be covered in a short span of time like that. But what we are going to try to do is to provide some practical help to those of you who feel like you just haven't been able to sustain that grasp. To those of you maybe who said on that questionnaire, you don't know how to pray, but you'd like to if you felt like you were just any good at it. What we want to do is try to help those of you who have a less than ideal prayer life to have a richer, fuller, deeper prayer life than you do now. And we're going to do this, as Mark talked about last week, by unpacking a specific prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples how to pray. And that prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. So, if you have one of these with you, I invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have one of these with you, use one of ours. If you have something electronic that you like to use, use it. But here's what I'm asking you to do. Open something up. Okay? Get this out. Get your phone out. Don't just sit there and look at me. I want you to see what Jesus used to teach you how to pray. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Yes, I know many of you could quote this, but that's okay. Let's look at it. Verse 9. In fact, won't you do this with me? Let's say this together. Verse 9. What's it say? This then is how you should pray. Wow. This then is how you should pray. All right. Jesus is going to teach us how to pray. You feel like you don't know how to pray? Feel like maybe you're no good at it? Feel like maybe your prayers just kind of go up to the ceiling and then bounce back down right on top of you? Don't know what to say when you pray? Don't know how to structure or form your prayer? Aren't sure what topics to talk about in your prayer? What does Jesus say? This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this prayer is commonly and in many circles endearingly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And it is likely the most well-known prayer in the New Testament for sure, and maybe in all of Scripture, maybe second only to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm sure that psalm and this prayer are probably neck and neck as far as the two most well-known type of prayers that we've heard. And while it is commonly known, in fact, you may even have a Bible. If you've got a Bible in front of you, you may have a heading in front of this prayer. Many of them do. And that heading may read the Lord's Prayer, depending upon the Bible you're using. You may actually have that phrase above this prayer. Now, please know, Matthew didn't put that there when he wrote the gospel that bears his name. Men have put that there over the years. Matthew didn't say that. We are the ones who've said that. But Mark and I both agree on this. We don't always agree on everything, but we agree on this. That's not a very accurate way to describe this prayer. In fact, we've given this series, I don't know if you did you announce this last week, the name we've given the series, kind of a provocative title. We've given this series of lessons the title, It's Not the Lord's Prayer. I think, as Mark suggested last week in the opening lesson of this series, a better way of referring to this prayer is to call it the disciples' prayer. Because this is the prayer Jesus used to teach his disciples how to pray. It's likely Jesus never actually prayed this prayer because there are some things in this prayer that don't apply to him. Right? Jesus never had to ask for forgiveness. So I understand calling this the Lord's Prayer. He's the one that gave it to us. But actually, a better description might be the disciples' prayer. This is the prayer Jesus used to teach us how to pray. Now, I would also add this before we get into the actual prayer itself. Even though Jesus used this prayer to teach disciples how to pray, we contend that he never actually intended for us just to memorize it and repeat it word for word. Now, I know a lot of you have done that over your life, throughout your life, maybe in various places. You've been in meetings, you've been in places where that's the tradition, where that's what you do. I have too, and to be honest, there are times that I will just say this prayer by rote memory, but I do not believe that Jesus intended for his disciples to use it that way. Now, I'm not saying it's sinful or wrong to do that. I'm just saying that's not really how Jesus intended for this prayer to be used. And here's one reason why I think that. Because here's what happens when we just say a prayer over and over and over by rote memory. It becomes very likely just vain repetitions, right? Just something we're reeling off the tongue that we're not even really thinking about. And if you back up just a few verses in this very same chapter, when Jesus is talking about how not to pray, one of the very specific things he says is, don't make prayer about cliches and vain repetitions and things of that nature. And so in some cases, we've made this prayer the very thing Jesus said don't do. When we just repeat it without really even thinking about what we're saying, it kind of lends itself toward doing that. That's one reason why I don't think Jesus intended for his disciples then or even for his disciples now just to memorize this prayer and pray this word for word by rote memory. What we think this is more like a template. It's a model. It's got different components in it. And the point is that we take this model, this template, and from this model of prayer, we plug in our own prayer language, our own prayer life, using this template, using this model, and that's how we develop the ability to pray. Okay? Does that make any sense to you? Okay? So I'm not trying to put down anybody who prays this prayer by memory. It's a beautiful prayer just as it is. But I think there's more here than just memorizing this prayer word for word. There's so much more here that I think we can learn and grow from. This is a great prayer to unpack as we look for help in growing our own prayer language and our own prayer lives. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." So over the next few weeks, let's let our rabbi, that's what Jesus is, he's our teacher. Let's let Jesus disciple us. Let's let our teacher, our example, disciple us, teach us, show us how to pray. Now, I understand some of you may not need this. I do not mean to suggest that no one in here knows how to pray. I don't mean to suggest that at all. You may have an outstanding prayer relationship with the Lord. And if you do, that is absolutely fantastic. But from some of the responses I got from that questionnaire and some of the things that I've just heard some of you say over the years, not everybody in here has, I think, the kind of prayer life that is satisfying. Would that be fair to say? I'd ask for a show of hands, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. So I won't ask you to do that. But I don't think I'm off base here. I think I'm talking to some people, many of whom might like a richer, deeper, fuller prayer life than you have right now. Okay? That may not be everybody in here, but I bet there's some in here who would put themselves in that category. If that's where you are, you're who I'm primarily speaking to and who we're going to be primarily speaking to here over the next few weeks. So, this then is how you should pray. Let's let Jesus teach us how to pray. We're going to look at the different components in this prayer over the next few weeks. And the first phrase, the first component, if you'll let me use that word, that we're going to look at is our Father in heaven. Now, I don't know how you begin your prayers. Maybe you begin them with the word Father. Maybe you begin them with the word God. Again, this is just a model. But Jesus says when you begin to address God, it's okay. In fact, it's even a good thing to address God as Father. Now, that may not seem unusual to us at all. But many believe that might have been kind of like a revelation, almost like a bomb dropping for the disciples. Because God doesn't seem to have been referred to as Father throughout the Old Testament scripture. In the Old Testament, best I can tell, God is addressed as Father only 6 or 7 times, depending upon the translation that you're using. And in each of those instances, it was someone like a prophet speaking to or about God on behalf of the people. For example, Isaiah 63, in verse 16, Isaiah, speaking to God for the people, said, "For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, from of old is your name. In Malachi 2 in verse 10, Malachi speaks about God to the people. And he says, do we not all have one Father? Did not God create us? Why then do you profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? So, you have in the Old Testament references to God as Father, but as far as we know, there was never a time when Abraham or Moses or David or Daniel or any of the other prophets ever went to the quietness of their room, fell on their knees, and dared to call upon God as their Father in such an intimate and personal way. If they did, we certainly have no record of it in Scripture. However, when we turn to the New Testament Scriptures, we're told directly or indirectly dozens of times that when we bow before the sovereign majesty of the universe, the word that should come easily to our lips is the word Father. Jesus himself directly referred to God as Father over 170 times. And when he taught his disciples how to pray, in fact, in Luke's gospel, Luke records the disciples coming to Jesus and asking him, Jesus, John the Baptist disciples taught them asked him to teach them how to pray. We want you to teach us how to pray. And so Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. And he says, when you pray, begin by addressing God as your Father. Now, the term Father is Abba. And it was a name used by Jewish children for their earthly fathers. It was a term that denoted warmth, intimacy, protection, security, many different images and ideas associated with it. The English equivalent of the term today would likely be daddy. That's very close to the word Jewish children used to describe their father. You might think about a father pulling up in the driveway after work and his young daughter runs out to meet him and jumps up into his arms and says, Daddy, Daddy, I'm so glad you're home. The word daddy conjures up images of warmth and intimacy and security, acceptance, protection, and love. Now, don't push back on me here. I'm not saying you should begin your prayer with daddy, although I have heard some people do that. That's between them and the Lord. If that's what the word means, is what I'm telling you. It's not so much about the word as it is the relationship behind the word. Okay? In our Father. It's not even so much about gender, really. That's not the point. It's not that we have to call God Father because we got to get the gender right, because God is spirit. God is neither male nor female, but is like a loving, kind, accepting, providing, protective Father. So really what this word is about is us understanding the relationship we have with God. The point is, when we pray, we're not praying to some unknown cosmic being in some remote galaxy far, far away from here, a being who is unattached, cold, distant, uncaring, and unmoved by our plight and the things that plague and challenge us on a daily basis. That's not who God is. And sometimes just the name God kind of pushes people in that direction, but the name Father can really open up and enlighten and give insight into this God, into whose presence we are entering. Jesus is teaching us to begin our prayer by addressing God as Father. He is inviting us to understand something of the nature of the one into whose presence we are entering. We are entering into the presence of one who loves us, who absolutely adores you. Absolutely adores you. We are entering into the presence of one who cherishes us, who welcomes us, into his presence, and who desires, like any good father, to give us his children good gifts. In fact, Scripture would say to us that God, our Father, is the giver of every good gift we have. Do you have anything good in your life today? If you do, God is the giver of that good gift and should be thanked for that good gift, because He's our Father and ultimately He's the giver of every good thing in my life. Jesus is inviting us to begin our prayer with this word because it sets the stage for who it is that we're talking to. Not some distant, unattached, cold, uncaring, cosmic being in some galaxy millions of miles away from here, but we are talking to our Father, the one who adores and cherishes and welcomes and protects and gives good gifts to. So Jesus, our rabbi, our teacher, says, when you pray, begin by addressing God as your heavenly Father. Now, with the time I've got left, I'm going to set something up for where we're going to go with all of this. So my question to you is this, and I will let you raise your hand on this if you're inclined to do so. Would you like to learn how to pray better? Okay? Okay? Would you like to have a deeper, richer, more fulfilling prayer life? Raise your hand. All right. We got a plan for you. Got a challenge for you. Got 6 steps that you're going to take, if you're willing, over the next 40 days that will help you develop a deeper, better, richer prayer life. Now, you heard 6 steps and you're thinking, oh Lord, we're going to be here another 30 minutes, right? I could see it in your eyes. See, what y'all don't realize is I read your faces. I can see you. You think I can't see you, but I can see you. So when you roll your eyes, I see it. Okay? And I saw some of you roll your eyes when I said 6 steps. It's like, oh Lord, it's already 11 o'clock. Okay. We're going to run through these real quick. So hang in there with me. Step number one, if you want a richer, deeper, fuller prayer life, if you want a better prayer language and better prayer experience, step number one, make a commitment to pray this particular prayer, what we're calling the disciples' prayer. Make a commitment to pray this prayer every day for the next 40 days. Well, why is that necessary? Let me ask you this. What do you need to do if you want to be a better golfer? Got to play golf, don't you? If you want to get stronger, you got to get into the gym, right? Lift some weights. If you want to play an instrument well, what do you got to do? You got to practice that instrument. If we want a deeper, richer, fuller prayer life, what do we have to do? We got to pray. We got to pray. I mean, I know that's simple, but I think it needs to be said. You get better at whatever you do often, right? And so if you want to get better, have a deeper, richer, fuller experience when it comes to prayer, make a commitment to pray this prayer every day for the next 40 days. Step number two, start small. As a novice, you don't go into the gym and start trying to bench press 300 pounds the first day. But you start with a much lighter weight and you build up to heavier weights over time. So don't start out with the goal, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to pray for an hour. It's too much. You'll quit. You won't ever do it. If you've not been used to doing it, that's too big of a chunk. I could be wrong. Maybe you're the exception. But I'm just really doubtful that you'd ever be able to pull that off. You'll stop. You won't stick with it. So start smaller. Get a smaller chunk. Maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Start small. Something you can actually manage. Something you can actually do. And if you've not been praying a lot, if prayer is sporadic in your life and you just don't do it very much, start small. A little bit on top of a little bit on top of a little bit soon becomes a lot, but you got to start small. So start small. Step number 3, find a quiet place and pick out a time that's conducive to your schedule. If you're an early morning riser, do it first thing in the morning. If you're a night owl, do it late at night. The point is just do it. Okay? Turn off your cell phone so you won't be interrupted. Find a place that's reasonably quiet where you'll have 5 to 10 minutes of uninterrupted time and just get still. And then step number 4, pray. And for this first week, here's the assignment this coming week, if you're willing to take this journey with me, if you're willing to do this, here's what you're going to do this first week. When you pray this prayer, stop and let your mind linger on the word Father. What does that mean? Now, I'm aware some of you, some of us, may have had fathers that really weren't very good at being a father. And for you, this word may be more of a detriment than it is a help, because all you can remember is a father who was never there. Maybe when he was there, all he did was yell at you. Maybe he was there physically but wasn't there emotionally. Maybe he didn't protect you. Maybe he didn't care about you. Maybe he never gave you any good gifts. I get that. I understand that. What I would ask you to do is acknowledge that. In fact, talk to your Father in heaven about your Father on earth and why it's hard for you to understand your Father in heaven, because your Father on earth didn't do a very good job of helping you understand what that word was about. That would be an excellent thought and prayer to have with your Father in heaven. Let him know you want this word to mean everything it can mean to you, but you're having a challenge with that because some things you've experienced in life make that difficult. Make that what you pray about. But this week, as we begin, tomorrow, as we begin this, when you begin your prayer with Father, just let your mind linger there for a few moments and let it go wherever the Spirit takes you in regards to that word. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do I understand that? What does it mean to call God my Father? That's step number 4. Step number 5, after you've finished the prayer, after you've had those thoughts, after you've pondered a little bit, pray the rest of the prayer, and then you're done. Now, step number 5, revisit this prayer mentally throughout the day. Throughout the day, be aware of the good gifts you have and thank your Father for them. Something good happens to you during the day, say, "Thank you, Father. I know that's a gift from you." Revisit this prayer throughout the day. As things happen, maybe something happens and you're fearful about it, ask your Father for help. Maybe something comes up and you don't know what to do about it, ask your Father for guidance. Revisit this prayer throughout the day in whatever happens during your day. Let your mind go back to this prayer and how your Father can help address whatever it is you're going through during the day. Step number 6, here's the kicker. If you really want to take it up a notch, if you're really serious about this, here's what you need to do. Share what you're learning with somebody else. Don't keep it to yourself. Share what you're learning with somebody else. Get together once a week with 1 or 2 or maybe 3 other friends at the most. Same gender. Gender specific. Women with women, men with men. And share what you're learning about in this prayer. What is God, what is Jesus teaching you in this prayer? How's it going? Where have you struggled? Where have you failed? What are you doing? What are you learning? What's going well? If you really want to take it up a notch, and guys, this goes back to, I'm trying to beat a drum. I don't know if you're hearing the drum beat or not, but I'm trying to beat a drum every once in a while. We're not good at this. We're not. Our tribe is not good with this. We've all been either deliberately or just kind of allowed to think my relationship with Jesus is about me and Jesus. And it's about us. And so if you want to take this up a notch, if you want to really explode, share what you're learning with somebody else. Get with a couple of friends and talk about this prayer and what you're learning from Jesus and how he's teaching you and what he's showing you through this effort that you're making to pray this prayer for 40 days every single day. And here's the offer. Well, I don't have anybody that'll do that. I'm right here. I can't do it with all of you. And if you're a woman, I won't do it with you. But if you're a man and you want to get with somebody and talk about what you're learning in this prayer, and we're here. Mark's here. I'm going to volunteer him right now. Mark, you're volunteered. If somebody wants to do Mark, Wes is here. I'm volunteering Wes. He's right there. Jake is here. Rick is over here. Brian's right over here somewhere. I saw him a moment ago. I don't know where he went. Greg, all of our shepherds, our elders, deacons. Hey, there are people here that if you would go to them and say, hey, let's get together once a week for the next 40 days and let's talk about this prayer and what we're learning from it and what Jesus is teaching us, and let's help each other be better disciples of Jesus. Man, why wouldn't we want to do that? Can I ask you that? Why would you push back on that? Why would you not want to help someone and be helped by someone be a better disciple of Jesus? I mean, isn't that what we're trying to do? To be and make disciples of Jesus. That's our mission. That's what we've said we want to do. Can't make me do that. You're right, I can't. But I can ask you, why on earth would you not want to? Right? We want to be better disciples of Jesus. Let's help each other be better disciples of Jesus. So, you want to take it up a notch? Step number 6, share what you're learning with somebody. All right, one last thing. On your way out today, you'll find a little flyer, a little piece of paper that's got 6 steps to a fuller, richer prayer life. Talk about just what we've talked about right here. They're on the exit door, the tables. There's a few in the back. If you want to pick one up and take it with you, there it is. 40 days. Are you with me? 40 days. Let's pray this prayer every day for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, I can almost guarantee you, if we practice these 6 steps every day, we're going to be well on our way toward a richer, deeper, fuller prayer life than we've ever had before. 40 days to a better prayer life than maybe you've ever had begins tomorrow. Okay? I hope you're with me. What I'd like to do at the end of that 40 days is sometime toward the end of the year, maybe even ask a couple of you to share with the rest of us what you learned. What'd you learn from this? How did it bless you? How did it help you? We'll see what the Lord can do, okay? All right. We're off and running. Let's pray. Father, great and awesome is your name. We ask that you bring down here what gets done up there. May your will be done in our lives. Forgive us for the rebellion and sins that we've committed. And may we forgive others who've wounded and hurt us. We recognize you as the giver of all good things, and we're grateful for the bread you give us each day. And Father, we pray that you lead us not into temptation, and continually deliver us from the evil one. Bless us, Father, as we learn to pray this prayer. May it teach us and lead us to a deeper, richer, better prayer life than we've ever had with you. Jesus, teach us how to pray, that we might better be your disciples. We pray this as your people gathered here today in your name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.